everybody, and welcome to Game Slackers on 101.5 UMFM.
That's on the radio.
We are on the radio, and we're coming to you from the University of Manitoba campus.
Where are we?
That gives the illusion that we do this live.
Yeah.
Anyway, we are the Game Slackers. I'm Megan.
I'm Alice.
And we talk about video games.
Yes.
We play a lot of video games.
Or we try.
We try.
Like, I guess if I can't play a video game, like, I'm going to talk about a video game that I just can't play right now. But if we can't play a video game, we usually watch a lot of videos about it. Or I do, at least. I've watched very many games.
And if there are some games that we don't want to play, it's usually for a very, very good reason, such as the drama that happens behind video games.
I was like, because it's a sports game.
Or because it's a sports game.
That's probably the reason I won't play it.
And we actually both finished the same game
this
past weekend. Yeah. I finished a game, you guys.
That you beat it before me, even though I then beat it the same day, hours later?
I was about to say I'm more proud of the fact that I did it before next January, the time limit I gave myself to play the game.
Nice. That's pretty good. So we both beat Outer Worlds. I personally thought it wasn't as long as I thought it would be. I thought this would be a Fallout length game.
Where you can pretty much spend time going to all the different places.
Yeah, and here's the thing. I am expecting DLC based out of this because there are three planets that you can't visit that are just sort of grayed out. But I assume DLC will make those unlockable or whatever.
And I am definitely going to get the DLC when it comes out because I was very, very impressed with this game. This was, I think this is one of my favorite games of 2020, technically 2019.
2019, but, yeah.
But it's one of my favorite games that I've played in the last while.
Yeah, it's fun. I enjoyed it. The thing is, I know Fallout 4 took me about 40 hours and I never finished it. Same thing with Fallout New Vegas, but I never finished it. This one at least I did finish, we'll say that. But it was shorter than I thought it would be. Like, this is maybe 20 hours if you do everything versus a 40?
30 hours, they're saying.
You?
Well, not just for me, for the general populace.
It took
a 10-hour game if you're going straight from beginning to end following the exact quest, or 30 hours if you want to do the side quest.
Okay, I did most of the side quests, I'll say 90% of the side quests. And it took me, it didn't take me very long. It took me maybe 3 days-ish, which for me is not that long of a game. Like, some games I can take weeks on, right?
This is true. But no, this, even if it is a slightly smaller game, not quite to the scale that it looks like it could be.
I feel that's kind of a minor nitpick that it wasn't longer because I wanted more. Like, that's sort of what it comes down to is like.
That's a good nitpick, though.
Yeah.
That you want more of the game because the game itself is actually good.
There are certain things that I would flesh out more, including the last companion character, because I feel that his role is very weirdly minor, and it just sort of I didn't even know where to find him, and it was on your ship.
Yeah.
I was very much at almost the last mission, and I was like, I don't have there's a missing spot here for somebody. I don't know what that is or who that is. But yeah, eventually found it, and that's all fine and dandy.
That's okay, because I didn't really get emotionally invested in this final character anyway.
No, which I feel is kind of a little disappointing. I did like most of the characters, though, that I kept with me. I do think it's a pretty enjoyable game. I didn't really expect the boss fight at the end, but that's fine.
Thankfully, you have the means of boosting the power in order to make the boss fight a bit easier.
Yeah, you
if
can.
If you know to expect it.
Yeah, well, you can relocate all of your, this game is kind of neat. I feel that Fallout must have done this as well, but you can re-specify all of your skill points into whatever you want. So if you're having a lot of trouble, you can basically pay, I think it's maybe 300 bits.
I think depending on the level you're at, because it started off at 500, and then I ended up having to pay 1,000, which it was peanuts at the end anyway.
But yeah, and then you can reallocate all of your things that you've put in. So it's not, I don't feel that that's sort of a game stopping thing. I will say, if you haven't figured out where it is, that may be a problem. But that's just, you gotta look around the ship, because apparently, like me, I didn't look, even though I was in the robot's room, I just never talked to him. Yeah, the last companion's a robot. Sorry to spoil it. It's not that much spoilers. I like it. I do believe that we'll get DLC. Once again, this came out in November or October or, yeah, somewhere around there. So it came out recently enough that I assume they will be having DLC and at the very least a sequel.
I would love, love, love to see a sequel to this.
Yeah, I wonder how they would do it. I kind of feel it would be similar to Fallout, where it's just an entire new character, but sort of same universe kind of thing, which is fine with me. Like, I kind of like that aspect of these are different survivors and they go about it maybe different ways, or the exact same way if your gameplay style is just like, I like the gun. That's me.
They drop a whole bunch of hints on other side adventures that could possibly have happened, and I really don't want to talk about it. I'll talk to you about it later, but I can't spoil it because it is
endgame stuff.
It is endgame stuff.
Yeah, it's good though. I don't regret playing it. How about that? I enjoyed it.
I don't regret buying it.
Yeah, I think it is quite a good game. It's enjoyable. It's really good to look at. It's quite fun to play. It does sort of compensate for different play styles at some point. I will say that end boss doesn't really, like, if you play melee, you might want to change your style for that, just because it doesn't help that much. Just, and even the way that the arena, quote unquote, is built up, because you're like, oh, this is a boss arena. Look at all these cleverly boxes for me to either explode or hide behind. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not bad. It's just like, I don't know, things that I can nitpick because I enjoyed it. I didn't hate it.
No. So hopefully we're going to see more come out of the studio of a similar vein, if not a sequel.
Yeah, yeah. I would assume. They did well. Like, I know that this was a successful game for sure. Like, yeah.
Yeah. And we ended up picking up a couple of free games through our PlayStation Plus. So you and I spent a good chunk of time being goats.
Yeah, and I've played like an extensive amount of Goat Simulator prior to this. Like back when my PC was functional, I played a lot of Goat Sim there. So I've played Goat Sim. They've updated it a lot since then. And it's very interesting. Like when I played Goat Sim, I think I played the first two accessible levels, but now there's things like there's the zombie goat simulator, there is the
MMORPG
goat, yeah, and then oh, there's the payday goats, which is which we didn't get with whatever that was, which whatever, I'll live. It's just more enjoyable. Like this game is basically based off of like somebody taking Grand Theft Auto assets and being like, these ragdoll pretty fun. This bug is not a bug. It is a asset to the game. It's a feature.
Wink.
Yeah. And obviously this game is, it's a little wacky. You're playing as a goat. You just go around. There's no story, really. You're just a goat.
You make up your own adventure and story as you go along.
If you want,
use your imagination. Those things we don't need to use when we're playing video games normally.
Mm-hmm.
You get to just do that with this. Make up your own epic storyline for this goat.
Yeah, I will say, like, one of my favorite gags from this is the ability, you do have the ability to turn into other goats. And in certain cases, you can be, like, an ostrich or a giraffe or something like that. And they call them, like, tall goats or, like, two-legged feathered goat. And it's just sort of, it's very enjoyable. It's very tongue-in-cheek.
And you get, like, these different things that you can do with your goats. Like you can give them super speed, call like the blue streak, you can give them a jetpack.
Yes. Yeah. You can find jetpacks. There's a bunch of like weird things to find. Like there's obviously trophies, you know, because every game has to have, you know, trophies. You know, it's just sort of, it's sort of a weird little sandbox game where you can just run around and sort of, it's basically you just destroy. And that's kind of the thing that that goats do.
You headbutt, you can lick, and when you lick things, you can drag them along behind you. So you can lick a person, they can come with you on this adventure.
There are very funny little people in this game. Like, they're very not, like, they're not, you can't talk to them. They maybe will yell at you sometimes, but mostly they're either dancing or standing. And then you can headbutt them into infinity because you are very powerful. Like, but also that is, once again, that's to do with the physics in this game. And they sort of were like, the physics in this game are a little weird. Once again, it's not a bug, it's a feature. It's okay.
And I love how self-deprecating this game was when advertising itself. It's like, you should probably be buying something else. You could spend your money on something that's completely working and totally not this game. It's, you can go and do any number of things, but not this game.
Yeah, I guess that was the initial, because at this point it's a pretty legit. Except that, for one thing, I did get stuck out of bounds several times. It does give you a nice little respawn, and you can just, like, it'll plop you back into the place that you can be. But I got myself stuck several times, and that's a little frustrating. But once again, it recognizes that, you know, you might do that because this game is it. That's a feature. Once again, it's a feature of this game. I do like the sort of the extra parts. Well, not the extra, the other map, which we didn't really play, but I've played before, which is sort of like a bay city area, and it's just sort of a nice little park area, because the one that you start off in is sort of
like a country.
Yeah, it's a little rural.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which, like, it has a, there is a great park because it, you know, there, I'm pretty sure there is some kind of thing where you can get an alien or a saucer somehow. Like, there is a pentagram, and you can turn into sort of this, I don't know,
it's
Satan
a demonic goat.
Goat,
yeah.
Yeah, you can turn into a buff, very buff goat. There's a place where you can go very tiny, which I found that it broke my game a little bit because it made me tiny, but it also teleported me a good 4 feet off the ground. So I don't know if that, like, actually did anything.
See, the fun thing about this game is the fact that you can find all these things that do bug out your game.
Yeah.
But they have hidden, like, little gems everywhere.
Yeah, that little areas that are just like, oh, this is neat. Like, there's what, Goat Henge, like there, which is Stonehenge. It's just, and you're supposed to destroy it.
There's an anti-gravity room.
Yeah, yeah, it is really cute. One thing I don't know if they have, it would be nice if the goat could get a skateboard. I wonder, like, but here's the thing. I know that there are, like, a
Tony
million.
Hawk goat.
Yeah, that would actually be really fun. I'd enjoy that. But that's only because I very much enjoyed Spyro skating aspect of the Spyro games. But it would be interesting if that. Well, it's actually not interesting. Let me scrap that. There is a lot of microtransactions in this game. If you want to, you can buy every flavor of goat. Now, some of these are interesting. Some of these are weird. Most of these, I think, are just sort of like random assets from, like, the GTA V?
Grand Theft Auto 5.
GTAV. Because they're just sort of like, it is pretty hilarious because, but at this point, I don't know if it, like, becomes a little less of a goat sim. And more of, like, playing around with the Grand Theft Auto assets, which is fine because I know there's, like, a fish with legs. I think there's sort of, like, a terrible little person that crawls around. Like, but also there's a million other things. Like, there's a lot of goats you can be. It's not terrible. It's just I wish we got all those goats for free, or they were unlockable.
Yeah.
And I don't think all of them are unlockable. I think Or they're unlockable via money, cash money.
I think the thing I was disappointed about was that every time I've gotten a game from PlayStation Plus, they've given me everything that comes with the game.
Yes.
I'm not sure it's because I had the game beforehand that they didn't do this time.
I don't think it came with.
Yeah, and so that was a bit disappointing.
No. Well, and, like, if we want the DLC, like, I would say Goat Sim itself isn't actually that expensive of a game. Like, obviously, if we wanted every goat, it would probably get expensive, but I would, yeah, once again. Speaking of, like, weird DLC, because I don't know if we talked about this yet, Pokemon announced new DLC.
Oh, yeah.
We'll just quickly touch on it because there's two other games we want to talk about.
Pokemon Watch 2020.
Yeah, there's more Pokemon, which is fine, and for all, everybody was crying about, you know, my Pokemon is not in, you know what, my Pokemon's still not in it. Kabutops will never be in this game, and I understand that, because Kabutops is not a fan favorite. My favorite Pokemon, but not necessarily everyone else's. Regardless, we're getting Bulbasaur, we're getting Squirtle, we're getting a bunch of other Pokemon.
some Galar versions of the original legendary birds.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So that's specific. So there's two DLCs. One, I believe, is called the Island of Armor. Am I correct about that? Something like that. And, you know, it's, I think it's more, I want to say, tropical. Like, I haven't actually played Sword and Shield. I watched you play it a little bit. Because I'll get there. One, because this DLC actually looks pretty interesting. And then the second one will be, I think it's like the something, the Crown Tundra, the Tundra Crown. It's something like that. And in both of these, we have new legendaries that look pretty cool. Slash, I'm afraid of the rabbit that floats in the sky.
I love the rabbit.
I just think it's a little scary. That's my opinion. I would not want to hang out with it.
You don't want the all-powerful Legend of Zelda rabbit?
No. I will say one thing that is exciting. You mentioned that there are Galar versions of the legendary birds. So Articuno, Zapdos, and
Moltres.
Jeez, I was going to say Dodrio.
That legendary bird, Dodrio.
Yeah, the Dodrio. Anyway, or Doduo, that one. That's the legendary. That's the one I was with. And they look really cool, though. I'm really excited about their designs. And the other thing about these DLCs is that if you don't want to buy them, which is fine, you don't have to, all of the Pokemon available in the DLCs will be available via trading. So even if you don't want to buy this, you will still be able to access all the other Pokemon. Once again, bunch of other ones like Garchomp. You know, people love Garchomp. I like Garchomp. What's the wolf? Rockruff.
Rockruff.
No, well, the baby, like, anyways. There's a bunch. Looks good. Also, Pokemon Mystery Dungeon coming to the Switch.
It's a remake of the original one that they did. So this is exciting because I've always wanted to play it, but I've never had the means to when it first came out.
Yeah. What was it for? DS?
DS.
Okay. Yeah, and which is fine. Like, this is a series that I missed out on because I never had it. I just never had it. No. I wasn't interested.
We'll check this one out when it comes out.
Yeah, no, it looks great. Looks pretty. It kind of reminds me of this, what is that, Pokemon Mystery Island? Is that the one? The one where they're all squares, and I loved them for the Switch, but we've deleted it off our Switch now. I forget what it was called.
It's actually also available on Android and iPad if you want to check out Pokemon Mystery Island.
Is that what it's called? Yeah.
Something like that.
Okay, I would hold off on actually calling it that before we know. Anyway, that's enough Pokemon. Let's talk about a game that I'm going to talk about this game, and then you can talk about.
Okay.
Nathan Drake.
Blah. Oh, boy.
I want to talk about a game that I haven't actually played, but I've watched a lot of hours of videos on it. And I want to, more or less, I want to raise awareness about it because I think it's a really cool game, and I think that even though I don't have a chance to play it, I think other people should at least know about it because it's neat. So the game I'm talking about is called Pathologic 2, which is sort of a spiritual sequel / reimagining of the game Pathologic, which is by, what are they called, Icepick? And it's based...
Icepick Lodge.
There we go. And they're a Russian dev. So these games... Originally, Pathologic was brought over, and it was really poorly translated. So, in Pathologic 2, not only is it updated graphic, or well, it's not updated, but it's like way better graphics, redone voice acting, and even the story is a little different. So, basically, the story of Pathologic, which is sort of the story of Pathologic 2, is that you are a character. In Pathologic 1, you get to choose between 2 and then... After you beat that, you get a third option. The first two are the Bachelor and the Harspect. Harspect is basically someone who, like, divines the future from looking at animal intestines. And then the third one is the Changeling. Basically, this game is you are one of these characters, and you're basically put into this little town that either you've lived in or you've never been to before. And this town is sort of on the brink of there's something going to happen. There's probably a plague or an outbreak of disease is going to happen. So the Bachelor and this, he was a surgeon, I believe. Harspect obviously has some ability with, like, surgeon aspects, I guess. He can cut open an animal pretty good. And the Changeling has sort of magical powers, but she's sort of an interesting character. So... The really cool thing about this game is that it kind of plays against you. It's kind of a very mean game. There's a bunch of meters. So I think you have like a disease immunity meter, health, thirst, stamina, and hunger. And you have to manage all of these. And it's sort of very interesting because on the first day, it's kind of, it's okay. You're sort of, you, it's a first person game where you walk around this town. And you can trade with people. People are sort of like wary about stuff that's happening. But the next day, so if you survive the first day, which it's pretty hard to do, the second day gets even harder because everything, like, everything which was sort of cheap is inflated in price because it sort of got out that there may be an impending plague in this place. And so it's up to you to sort of investigate what happened as either of these characters. Specifically for Pathologic 2, they've only developed the first one, which they've actually... It's funny, because usually people start off playing Pathologic as the Bachelor, but they kind of ignored him, and they went to... And they developed the Harspec's path first, which is kind of interesting, because I personally think that his path is a little... It's probably a little more in-depth, and it gives you a little more info about it, because versus the Bachelor, who is someone coming from the outside to this town, the Harspec is someone who was born here and then left and then came back. It's an incredibly challenging game. So if you're not into that, like, that's the other thing is, I don't know how well I deal with this game. There's also a lot of things that I think would just jump scare me because that's just my life, and it doesn't matter even if it's... This is sort of a survival horror, I would say. There's definitely horror aspects of this. Like, aside...
Like an Eldritch situation, is it not?
It is a little bit, but it's very much steeped in sort of, like, Russian mythology and, like, the steppe peoples and sort of, like, Mongolia and sort of that sort of mythology, which I think is really interesting because I personally have not played a game with this sort of... interest or this sort of like it's inspiration at least. And I will say they did do like the thing is that it the first Pathologic was sort of not the best translated, and that's just because, you know, it's from Russian, and then they probably didn't really have, you know, the amount of training you need to, you know, context wise because I believe there's even somebody like there's a term that somebody uses for someone, and it's like onion, but somebody specifically did it was it pronounced it like onion. So there is like a better version of the translation now with Pathologic, and obviously it has been through a couple reiterations as well. It does look like it will be available for PS4 as well as Xbox One, but it doesn't look like it's at this point available, which is a little too bad. I assume because they are working on still finishing the game. Like, once again, they did have a demo called the Marble's Nest, which was sort of just a demo of a couple, I think maybe the first couple days of the Harspec's journey or whatever. And it is for free still, so that is available for people to play. It is available through Steam, I feel. Maybe also, what is it? It's called GOG or Good Old Games. So it is a game that is available, but only if you have, like, a decent PC, which I don't. Once again, my PC can't play Goat Sim, and it had a real hard time playing Minecraft last time. Like, I'd rather play Minecraft on my... 12-year-old MacBook than that one, just because of the quality, which is kind of saying something.
Someday we'll have a means of playing PC games where our computers are fresh and new and don't smell like burning when they're trying to play things.
Or make loud. Anyway, so you were playing a game that I have played the first and the third of, but I've watched the second played because
and you actually
like movies.
You recommended me play the second one because the first one, I will admit, I started and it was terribly boring, and I'm talking of the Nathan Drake collection.
Let's say the name.
I'll name drop when I'm good and ready to name drop.
Nate Drake. He who is like and I yeah, he's I personally do not enjoy the Nathan Drake games, but I can sort of see where people enjoy them, and I get sort of the impact they had, because without these games, we wouldn't have got The Last of Us.
Yeah, so.
And that's the only thing I'll contend to, because otherwise I don't think these games are very enjoyable gameplay-wise. Story-wise, they're okay.
You can get a better archaeological treasure hunting story out of Tomb Raider.
Yeah.
Personally, I think.
Yeah, I think it's a little, like, and I will say Nathan Drake at least has a sort of maybe a more interesting cast of characters than Tomb Raider, aside from the first Tomb Raider reboot game, which I love, and I don't like the second one, so I'm not going to talk about that one. But yeah, I will say these games are pretty similar in sort of content, because you are a young person, youngish person, tomb raiding, basically. That's it. Like, say Nathan Drake tomb raids. Like,
yeah,
that's what he do.
Yes, and he searches out treasure and breaks laws.
Yeah. That's basically what Lara Croft does.
I think she does it more within the realms of not law-breaking when she
just
can.
Like, it's accidental, yeah.
She goes to find actual undiscovered tombs.
No, that's true. She's a little more maybe philanthropic, but who knows? Anyway, Nathan Drake is a little bit in it for the money, not necessarily because the thing that they're finding could, like, kill everybody or whatever.
He just wants that glory. He doesn't want to do anything good with his life. Just, you know.
Yeah.
Chase that dollar.
And that's it. Like, and there is a story. Like, I do feel, and as I said before, I watched the second one. And by watch, somebody very kindly, like, put together all of the important bits and just made it a movie so I could watch it and not play the game, because I don't find these games terribly engaging. Like, I played the first one, I don't think all the way through because I got very bored. But I definitely played the third one all the way through, because it was the first game I ever got with my PlayStation 3. And that was the one I was going to play. So I did it. And I was like, all right. That's about it.
Well, you were telling me that the fourth Uncharted has a different main character.
No.
No?
No, that is a... No, the fourth one does not. The fourth one is Nathan Drake. But there is a spin-off, or like, yeah, a spin-off that does feature two different characters that are like Nathan Drake's side characters. They aren't Nathan Drake, but yeah, it's not the fourth one. The fourth one does feature Nathan Drake very heavily.
We'll check out the spin-offs then and see if we can get them to...
I've heard pretty good things about the spin-off, to be honest, like in terms of it is actually a fun game, maybe. But who knows? I'm a rag on them because I feel they're very linear games. Like, you go from A to B, and sometimes there's a guy shooting at you, and then you shoot at him and he's gone, and then you walk over and then you climb up something and you go somewhere. And it doesn't really, like, there are puzzles, but I find that the puzzles aren't that enjoyable, or they're not, like,
they're not that difficult.
No, they're not brain teasy boys, which is, you know, once again, this game is just very much you go one direction, and then Nathan Drake talks a little bit and he sasses the other person that he's with. That's about what happens.
That's all you need to know about the Nathan Drake collection.
Yeah, like I would say I'd be kind of interested in playing the fourth, just because I have heard pretty good things about it, but it also might be a game that I just might watch, because that might be what it's about.
Let's watch first, just to get a taste of what we're in for, and then we'll decide whether the fourth one is any different from the first three.
Yeah, right.
Because we have the first three to get through first.
Yeah, I'm not going to do that, though.
I'll suffer for both of us.
Thank you.
Anyway, that's everything we have for you for this week. Keep slacking.
Bye.